So normally in our church services, what we do is we go through books of the Bible in whole chunks. As you guys know, we usually finish off a whole book of the Bible or just a big piece of scripture, sermon after sermon, week after week. But that's not always what we do. Sometimes we take a break and just look at other passages. So like last week, we took a look at Psalm 3. And this morning, I want to take you all the way into the New Testament. And let's take a look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. So 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 is where we're going to be today. Now, the good news for us is Scripture has advice, it has commands for us that are always applicable at all times. Well, here in 2 Timothy, as Paul sends Timothy off to go around to different churches and to encourage them and strengthen them and train their pastors, Paul gives Timothy three proverbs, is what they are essentially. And Paul says to Timothy, here's the proverbs, one about being a soldier, one about being a farmer, and one about being an athlete. And you, God is going to teach you how to apply it properly in every situation. And so what we're going to do today is the exact same thing. We're going to read these three proverbs that Paul told to Timothy, and then in the Spirit, we're simply going to ask for wisdom about how to apply these properly. As Timothy receives them in the context of how he is supposed to be a church leader and how he's supposed to train up other church leaders. So we are going to apply them both for pastors, what they mean for how pastors ought to apply them, but also for the congregation, how the congregation is supposed to apply them. Because there's no real standard or morality for pastors that isn't also for all Christians. So let's read together 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 1. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. What you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in the suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in the concerns of civilian life. He seeks to please his commanding officer. Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer ought to be the first to get a share of the crops. Consider what I'm saying, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead and descended from David, according to my gospel, for which I suffer to the point of even being bound like a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. This is why I endure all things for the elect, so that they also may obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is the word of the Lord for us. So these three proverbs or sayings, metaphors that Paul gives out, and he says, you know, God will give you understanding on how to apply these, are this. He says, first of all, a good soldier doesn't get entangled in civilian affairs. And then he says, an athlete doesn't win the crown unless he competes according to the rules. And finally, it's the hardworking farmer that gets the first share of the crops. So what can these mean for us in Christian leadership and for all of us who are members of the church? Well, first of all, perhaps most controversially, Paul tells Timothy, listen, a good soldier doesn't get entangled in civilian affairs. Now, one obvious but wrong application for us would be the idea that it means we as Christians who are a part of God's kingdom, we shouldn't participate at all in the kingdom of the world or any nation or government. We Christians, we're not supposed to take government offices. We shouldn't be voting. You don't want to get all wrapped up in all that. What really matters is the job that God has put us here to do, and that is sharing the gospel to the people. The problem is, that attitude fails to understand what Paul means when he says entangled. You see, Paul doesn't say that the good soldier isn't involved in civilian affairs. Paul says the good soldier isn't entangled in civilian affairs. Just like any good soldier is allowed to have political opinions and is still allowed to vote and to participate in these ways, so also as Christians, I mean, we're put in whatever nation that we're born into, you and I here in America and in this state, we're put in these places for a purpose, and we ought to enrich the lives of people around us by being involved in civil affairs. But we need to make sure that the other things that we do with our life besides serving Christ directly in the church, those things can't entangle us. The clearest way to say it is this: we can't let otherwise good things distract us from the actual commands that Christ has given us. His purpose is that we bear witness to everyone that Jesus Christ is Lord, in sharing the gospel and inviting them to follow God and in teaching them and training them to follow God all the better. So we do a lot of good activities in life. We're simply not to be entangled in them. You know how sometimes good activities can just start to show up in your life and overwhelm your schedule? One of my favorite examples of this is like school teachers who think in their first year of teaching school, oh, I've got my summer break. This is going to be great. I've got a whole big long summer break. But immediately, because everyone else also knows that teacher has a summer break, start to ask them to do things. And before they know it, all these teachers have a full schedule all summer long and don't have time to really just rest and relax like they thought they were going to get to. Good things can entangle us from our primary purpose. Or perhaps, as some of you know, you go to retire and you start thinking, without having to go into work every day, I'm really going to have all this time to do whatever I want to. But immediately, all these other obligations and responsibilities and just good activities show up that can swell up in your schedule and push out the stuff that's primary that you should be focusing on, to the point where you may think to yourself, gee, I need to go back to work so I can get some free time. Well, so it is for us following Christ. There's all kinds of good activities, there's all sorts of good programs, and there's all sorts of good things we can get ourselves involved in. But we cannot let those things entangle us and distract us from what God has really put in front of us to do. Now, this happens sometimes with pastors who can get distracted, though not necessarily, by thinking about politics or by thinking about running for political offices or being involved in politics. These are good things, and that's acceptable for a pastor to do if they've prayed about this and it's been revealed to them that, you know, God wants them to follow after this path. But if it's distracting them from preaching scripture and sharing the gospel, then they're becoming entangled and no longer focused on simply what Christ wants them to do. Now they have other masters and other obligations that they need to do. A lot of times pastors can have this happen when they get distracted with trying to form, you know, equipping ministries. Or right now, every pastor has a podcast out there somewhere of their ideas about ministry or scripture. And that's good, too. But we have to be very careful that these side issues or side hustles don't entangle us so that we stop doing the primary work of proclaiming Jesus Christ, crucified, descended from David, and risen again. Now, this can also happen to you as a church member. It's not just for pastors. We can all get entangled or distracted by otherwise good things. This can happen for parents. When you're parenting children, you know, the primary purpose of you in that child's life is to raise them up to know what is good and right about God and to teach them to obey God rightly so that hopefully at a young age, they'll trust God and follow after him all their lives. But we as parents can also sometimes get distracted from doing that by other things that are just fine and real good, but can entangle us and can distract us. We can get focused on our children's social development or sports or clubs or activities or school programs or extracurriculars to the point where we forget that our primary purpose in those children's lives is in raising them up to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. For you also as a member, even if you're not raising kids, I mean, any of us can want to, out of a good heart, just get involved in some kind of organization, a club or sports. You could join a cycling club. You could join a group of guys who plays golf together all the time. You could join a political organization. But it's possible that one of those things begins to take over all your time and you find yourself not just a member of this group doing good periodically, but now the treasurer and the person who has to call together the meetings. And soon enough, it's taking up all your time to where you're not doing what God has called you to do. Or if you put it in terms of an army, you know, if a general goes out to survey a base and the purpose of the units at this base were to subdue the enemy in the area and to remove them out of the area. And the general shows up and says, all right, have you done what you were commanded? Have you subdued all the enemies around you? And the leader of the base says, no, But you should see how shiny and sparkling our latrines are. You should see all the good organizational skills that we have going in here and our operational awareness. You should see the partnerships that we have with local people around here and vendors around us. The general will say, yeah, all that's fine. But have you done what I commanded you to do? And that's the real question for us in Christ. Now, the next parable, the next metaphor is like the first one. But Paul says, a good athlete only gets the crown if they can...
What you doing?
Hey, Trevor. Good to see you there. Guys? I'm just preaching a sermon to the church here.
Doing a little gospel preaching?
Yeah, man. Hey, I know you're totally not prepared for this,
I'm not prepared for whatever you're going to tell me.
But so you're totally not prepared. But hey, you want to just take over and preach the next point for us?
Sure.
Yeah. All right. Hey,
take my cup of joe there.
Go for it.
Well, hey, guys. It's good to see you, or at least look like I'm seeing you. So you're picking up at the athlete. Let's see. Where are we at here? Verse 5. Looking at verse 5, Paul says, also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Now, Paul's making a point here. Ultimately, what Paul is saying is that every single person who is a believer is called to advance God's kingdom. Okay, that's great. But he's also saying the way you advance God's kingdom matters. Paul's making this point to Timothy to say the ends do not justify the means. The way you get your results matter. And now remember here, Paul's writing to Timothy as his disciple. He's training him up as a pastor, and he's ultimately making a point to him as a pastor to say, you could have the largest church in town. You could have more baptisms every Sunday than all the other churches. You could have a church that gives more than everyone else in the area. You could be the one to lead those things to happen. But if you don't do those things in an honest way, you will not get a crown. The ends do not justify the means. And he's calling him as a pastor to be honorable. Now, here's an example for you. The new building committee met with an architect, and he shared a story that a pastor had once come to him and said, look, I know that this building, you're saying it's going to cost us $5 million. But I don't want you to tell the congregation it's going to cost $5 million. I want you to tell them that it's going to cost $4 million. See, he knew that the church didn't have $5 million to build this building, but he felt that it was what was best. So he was willing to get someone else to lie to his church for him so that he could get what he wanted. Now, obviously, this architect did not agree to this, but if he had, then the pastor may very well have gotten the result that he wanted. He may have gotten the building he wanted, but the way he got that building would not have justified the result he got, and he would not have received the crown. Here's another example for you. Many of you know the name Lance Armstrong. He was a very famous cyclist not too long ago, known as the greatest cyclist ever. He won 7 Tour de Frances, an amazing accomplishment, and it had come out at a point that he had been using performance-enhancing drugs. He had cheated his way to get to that title. And when this came out, he was stripped of all 7 of those titles by the league. They said, you did not earn these properly. You didn't play by the rules. We're going to take it back from you. And Lance, he did not get his crown. Now think about this from just a member perspective here. Maybe you're a Sunday school teacher. Maybe you have the biggest Sunday school class that there is, or maybe you serve more than anyone else in the church. Maybe you even give more than anyone else in the church. But if you're not playing by the rules, you're not going to get a crown. Maybe you're doing those things just because you want the recognition for it. Maybe that's important to you. Maybe behind all of the service you're showing, you're gossiping and you're causing division. You're doing all of these things that Christ has specifically said, don't do. If you're not playing by the rules, you won't get a crown. Remember this one thing. Jesus, he said, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom. And there's going to be people who say, but Jesus, we preached in your name. We prophesied in your name. We healed in your name. We did these miracles. And Jesus is going to say to them, "Depart from me, you lawbreakers. If you don't play by the rules and what Christ has called you to, you won't get a crown." I'll let Jordan tell you about the farmer.
I'm going to tag back in right here. The last thing that Paul says of these three. First, a good soldier doesn't get entangled in civilian affairs. And then second, an athlete only gets a crown if he competes according to the rules. But finally, Paul says, you know, the hardworking farmer ought to get the first share of the crops. This means we are to give credit where credit's due. One word I want you to focus on here, though, is hardworking. What does it mean to be a hardworking farmer? Well, first, Scripture has this idea all the way throughout that those who work hard are worth double honor, that you ought to recognize if somebody is really doing everything they can to serve the Lord, these are the ones you ought to recognize and you ought to be generous with, and you shouldn't withhold from them or treat them less than other people, but rather encourage them in a greater way because they're working hard. But what does it mean to work hard? Well, that's where I think these three proverbs are connected. I think this last one, to be a hardworking farmer, what it means is to be the kind of person who doesn't get distracted or entangled, and the kind of person who competes according to the rules. That is to say, does right and lives righteously at all times, even if they think they can get ahead by, you know, fudging the numbers or lying a little bit or cheating a little bit or gossiping a little bit. So what's the hardworking person do? They don't get distracted from the task at hand. And they always act righteously before God, trusting God at all the times. And these people in the congregation, these people you ought to give a share of the glory and honor. You ought to let them know that they're doing a great job. So for pastors, one application here is we ought never take the credit for the good work that other people are doing. You know, being a pastor is... I'm the one who talks the most as the church. You hear from me more than you hear from other people. And so it could seem like I'm the reason good things are happening, even just naturally. But it's oftentimes, most frequently, not true. We've got a ton of people doing great ministry behind the scenes. You know, one good example of this is VBS. We do a really good VBS here at Talitha, and I have so little to do with it. Like, I'm excited about it, and I'm excited to invite people to it, but then my job during VBS is mostly high-fiving kids, sharing the gospel with them here and there, saying hello to parents and inviting them to church, and just kind of being around and being the pastor. VBS works so well because Allison Blanton does such a good job organizing it, and then all of you, the whole congregation together, gather up to be teaching all these children and serving all these children and doing everything we can to bring our children and our neighbors to church so they can hear the gospel. That one's a team effort, and the leader of that team is Allison, not me. And so the credit needs to go where it's due there. Now, as a church member also, or just a person following Christ, there's an application for this. And that is, you ought to give credit where it's due. Now, I can say, as far as being the pastor here at Talitha, with you guys as the member, I don't need to like teach this to you. All I need to say is thank you, because you guys are fantastic at taking care of pastors. This church needs to be taught little about appreciation and sharing and generosity, because this church is extremely generous with us, the pastors. And so thank you is all I have to say about that one. But let us all diligently and carefully look for ways to see who is quietly and silently working hard in different ways, and encourage them and support them in whatever it is they're doing. To be able to go to the long-suffering children's Sunday school class teacher and say, "Hey, listen, you're doing a great job week in and week out, constantly redirecting the children in your class and gathering their attention back and trying to share a story with them." We have great Sunday school class teachers for our children at this church. I was last Sunday talking with my oldest two after the sermon about how they can apply Psalm 3 and what it means. And one of the two children was able to just chime in about a Bible story they heard that I know I hadn't taught them yet, and I know came from a hardworking Sunday school class teacher here at the church. And so let us be the kind of people who are willing to give credit where it's due, and not just credit, but to encourage and support and exhort and be generous with those who are working hard for the sake of the gospel. So these are the three proverbs that are here in this passage. First of all, a soldier doesn't get entangled in civilian affairs. And then second of all, an athlete who wants to win the crown has to compete according to the rules. And finally, wherever you see a hardworking farmer, you know they're supposed to get a share of the crops. But that's not where Paul ends. As Paul's telling this to Timothy, he continues on in verse 9, explaining the ground, the center focus of all three of these, and it is the gospel of Jesus Christ. But to explain that to you, I'm going to tag in my partner here, Trevor Burrow. Go get him.
All right. So Paul says here, he says, in, starting in verse 8, he says, "Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead and descended from David, according to my gospel, for which I suffer to the point of being bound like a criminal, but the word of God is not bound." Paul is making two important points to note about Jesus Christ right here in those last few verses. Number one, Jesus is risen. It's important that we never forget that Jesus is risen. We just celebrated this when we celebrated Easter with our drive-in service a few weeks ago. We serve a risen Lord. We don't serve a grave that's filled with skeletons or ashes or dust. We serve a risen tomb. And that is the whole point of Christianity, is that that tomb was empty. And we serve a God who's coming back for his people to bring us home to worship God forever in his kingdom. And number two, God is reliable. You notice here, he makes a point about Jesus being a descendant from David, and he's making that point to show that God is reliable. If you remember in the Old Testament, Ruth and Boaz, they had a child named Obed, right? Obed had a son named Jesse. Jesse had a son named David. David had a son named Solomon, and so on and so on and so on and so on, all the way to Jesus Christ. And that promise God fulfilled in the very beginning, a promise that he made all the way back in Genesis, that he was going to bring us Jesus Christ. And he kept that promise. God is a reliable God. And here's something to think about. In the book of Deuteronomy, popular story, you probably remember it. The Israelites, they were being disobedient to God, and he punished them by sending venomous snakes to come and attack these people. People were getting sick, people were dying, and they were saying, "We've sinned, we recognize this, what do we need to do?" God gives Moses his staff and says, "Hold it up in the air, it's going to turn into a bronze serpent, and anyone who looks at that serpent will be healed." Fast forward all the way to John chapter 3, Jesus says, "I am that bronze serpent." He's going to be lifted up, not on a staff, but on a cross. And anyone who looks to that cross and puts their faith in Jesus Christ will be saved, and they will be healed from their sin and their pain forever and ever. And if you're listening and you're watching this today and you're not a Christian and you know that you're not a Christian, just know you can look to Jesus Christ on that cross, and you can have salvation from your sins forever. And you will have the hope of knowing that a day is going to come when you are free from all pain, from all sadness, from all hurt, from sin forever, and you'll worship in the kingdom of God with God's people for all eternity. And if you are a Christian, if you're a member of our church, here's my encouragement to you before we end. Press on in your faith. Keep doing the work of God's kingdom. Do it faithfully. Keep your eyes fixed on Christ at all times. Don't ever fall away from keeping your eyes fixed on him. And let's advance God's kingdom together.